praying for this service, I said, Lord, what do you have next after the, like I said, the first message has come just pretty quick. I had to pray about this a little bit, and not the first time that's happened down through the years, but Lord began to deal with me, and as he did, I began to see in a kind of a way there's a connection between this one and the morning one. Let's go to Matthew 24 and 12. And I want to ask us a question. When you have someone that, I guess the best way to put it would be a couple falling in love. When you have a young man, let's say sisters, and he begins to see you, he begins to fall for you, he begins to want to court you, and then he falls, as I say, head over heels in love. Isn't that special? It's special to be loved by somebody. No matter who it is, I mean, as far as a right relationship now, but the Lord, he wants us to love him. That's my burden tonight, is our love for God. How much strong love. And it said over here in 24 and 12 of Matthew, it said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Because iniquity, we're living in an age of iniquity. Lots of iniquity. Every time you turn around, if you take a paper or whatever, it's so negative anymore. Just solid killings and murders and shootings and knifings and husbands killing wives and parents killing their children and the children of parents. It is a horrible, horrible situation that we live in. It's because iniquity shall abound. Iniquity is roaring in a great way. And because of that, and because the ease of sin, in a sense anymore, the bottom line is there is people that have gone back from God. They have backed up, and I've seen it down through the years, and you have too. And it's a very discouraging thing to watch people that used to be on fire for God, used to be interested in living for the Lord and doing His work and so forth, and then all of a sudden they begin to cool off because of a certain thing that begins to work. And it can only take one thing that the devil can bring up, and he begins to use that, and he begins to cool us down, so to speak. And if we're not careful, we will begin to lose our love for God. And we'll begin to back off. It said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall. That's something that's going to happen. It's not going to be a think about, but it is going to be something that happens through. They're going to wax cold. They're going to end up in a bad position. So tonight, Lord, help you and I to have a love that's warm, firm, solid, whereby that the devil can't use something to begin to cool us down or to work on us in a way that will get us into a position we don't want to be in. So are we, how much do we love God tonight? Do we really love Him? Let's go to 12 and 27 of Mark. 12 and 27 of Mark. And one of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, and asked them, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. The scribe said to him, well, master, thou hast said the truth. There is one God, there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that, he answered discreetly. He said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. Now Jesus answered, this is coming from God himself, so to speak. We're not an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth anymore. We are going to base the whole New Testament, all this new plan that we're putting together, Jesus said, and that's going to be based on something totally different. That's going to make a total difference in our relationship, not only with us and God, but with us and mankind. And that is love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love him totally. It's one God. It's not a whole passel of God. It's one God. And we are to love him and him alone. Pour our attention, pour our adoration, pour our love, everything we've got about us is to be poured on God, so to speak. Our attention, looking at him. When a couple falls in love, they're all goo-goo-eyed, so to speak. And the only person they're looking at is that person. Any other males, any other females, they're out the door, so to speak. And now then we're down to one person. Listen, God is one person, so to speak. And he wants us to be just like that. Everything else is out of the way, down the drain. It's no more. The world is gone, so to speak, in our estimation, the way we think and consider. Now then, we're centering our heart and our life on the one and only God of heaven, and we're going to love him totally and completely with everything. That's what makes a happy marriage between a couple. And that'll what'll make a happy marriage between you and God. For you to love him solely and completely. His whole being centered. I was talking to somebody, and a minister, young, quite a few years, well, a lot younger than I am, and he told me some things, and I thought, keep talking. Keep talking. I like what I'm hearing, because this is what we need. We need people that are sold out to God, not only in the ministry totally, but in every way. We need people that are given, sold out, turned over to the whole concept of loving God completely and totally with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. When you have all of that, there's nothing left but to do it. All right. Brother Wilson said, this would be Brother Austin, true love will cause one to think more of what he can give than what he can get. Now then, you think about Christ. He gave it all. There was nothing but when he come with a plan, the whole thing was to give everything he down, everything he had down to the last drop of blood to make this to work. And he done it because he loved you. And he loves me. He told me that time in a vision. He said, I love you, child. I died for you, child. I died for you. Oh, today he died for every one of us. If we were the only ones around, the only person on the whole earth, and the plan of salvation was in deal, the bottom line is he loved you enough to die for you. Now then, he wants us to love him enough to die for him. Oh, watch it now, preacher. Watch out now. Yes, he does. He wants us to love him enough to give our all to him in sanctification. Just lay it all on the altar and put that in a place where that we're living it day in and day out. Our prayer life, our reading life and so forth is given to God, whereby he can take the word of God, he can take his life, and he can lead us, guide us, direct us, bless us, deepen us, and do things that nobody else can do for us. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Well, that sounds good, Lord. That's the way it ought to be. That's the way it's got to be. It's got to be that way, because that way is the only way. All right, if a husband marries a young lady, or a man marries a young lady, and he becomes, of course, the head of the home and working with her and so forth, she has to have a love deep enough to work with him. He has to have enough love to have work with her. It's not just a one-way deal. It is a working together. All right, Jesus wants you and I to have so much love that we're willing to work with God no matter what He says, where He goes, where He leads, what he brings about. He wants us to love Him enough. And folks, this is the only way it's going to work right, is for you and I to love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first commandment. All right, I'm going to lay a third one on here. Love thy neighbor as thyself. All right, you got those two. What would be the third commandment, so to speak, that you would tie into that would make it all perfect? What would that be? What's the golden rule? Do unto others as you have them do unto you. My brother-in-law, Molly's older brother, just about a year and a half older than her, not quite that much. Anyway, I helped preach at a funeral. And one day, we were working with him all last fall. We got the call. And he was the one that when their daddy died, they were all teenagers. He was only, 16, 17? So what he did is he went to work. Well, he had already gone to work before dad died. But he went to work, and he brought his paycheck home, and he gave it to mama. And he'd done that over and over and over. Even after he married, he was still giving money to mama to help support the children and to work with the children. And so one day, he had had a lot of company, and I said, "My Joe, people love you. These love you. They're just coming to see you." And people I didn't even know. And he said, "Well, Carl, this is the way I've lived my life. Do unto others as you have them do unto you." That was my message for his funeral. And I got to thinking on that, and I got to work with that, and I actually was walking up and down the trailer hall there that we were staying in, and the tears were flowing, and I thought if this was done by everybody in the United States, all problems would be gone. There wouldn't be no trouble, because everybody would want to be treated exactly a certain way, so consequently they're going to do everybody the same way they want to be treated, and consequently to love the neighbor as thyself, it takes care of problems. It takes care of everything, basically. So you got to love the Lord thy God first, then you got the neighbor second, and then you got to give them the good old golden rule, praise God, and you got a perfect world, about as perfect as you can get. Oh, tonight, how much do we love God tonight? How much are we loving Him? How much are we giving to Him? How much are we doing for Him? All right, let's go to Deuteronomy 10. Let's bring a little Old Testament in here. Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter and the 12th verse. Love the Lord thy God. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? Here we are. What does the Lord require? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. For thy good. Now listen, folks, we didn't write the Bible. God did. And God wrote a perfect book. There's never been a book written like this, and never will be. This is the most perfect absolute, and everything in it is given out of love, whereby if we would do this very thing, it's going to help you and I live a life that is much better than any other way. It'll be a life of bliss. It'll be a life of peace and joy and happiness. It'll be a life of better health. You ain't drinking, you ain't smoking, you ain't drugging, you ain't doing anything but loving God and living a life for Him, so consequently health is better. And the Lord done it all for you and I. He said, do the commandments. Do those things that I ask you to do. The way that we do them is to love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And He's going to come along and He's going to give us light over here. And after a while we get that one down and some more light over here and over here and over here. Sometimes it seems a little bit hard. But when you have plenty of love mixed in there, praise God, it's not hard to do. If a husband tells his wife, "Oh, baby, I love you." And then she said, "Well, hey, honey, will you take out the trash this morning? I need trash taken out." And you just say, no, I don't want to do that. And she thinks, well, I thought he just said, I loved you. And yet he don't want to even do something simple like that. Listen, we don't want to tell God, I love you. And then the Lord says, well, I would like you to do this. You go, huh? No, that's not love, see? And that's going to make God wonder a little bit. That make the wife wonder a little bit. Now then, if she asks you to take out the trash, and you not only take out the trash, but bake her breakfast and serve it to her in bed, now that'll get her attention, folks. That'll get her attention. So Lord, help us this morning. When the Lord says, I want you to do this, I'm leading you toward a certain point, I'm deepening you down, I'm making a child out of you, a bliss and beauty, so to speak, and you do that, and then you not only do that, but you're willing to do something else too, right there by it at the same time, that'll get his attention. Oh Lord, this morning, help us, or tonight. What did the Lord thy God require of thee? Fear God. Fear God, and walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and to keep his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Oh, today, Lord, help us. All right, let's go to Joshua, the 22nd chapter and the 5th verse, one that kind of tags right in with this. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, thy servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Oh, take diligent heed to do the commandment. Take diligent heed. Love, what is love? Love is an intense, affectionate concern for another person, a beloved person, a strong liking or enthusiasm for something. All right, let's go to John now. We'll be jumping back and forth a little. St. John 14:15. Love the Lord thy God. Tonight, how deep is our love? If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, that hooks right back into what I just read in the Old Testament. So God was telling them, you need to keep the commandments way back there. And now then Jesus is coming on the scene, and he's teaching and preaching and working. And he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Point blank. There ain't no ifs, and buts about it. Keep the commandments. Let's go down to the 21st verse here. And he that hath my commandments and keepeth thee, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not in the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, and if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come into him, and will make our abode with him. Now then, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Do you love him enough to keep everything that he asks you to keep? And then he goes on down here in 21, and he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. This is the way the Lord knows that we love him, is that we're wanting to do what he asks us to do in the Word of God, or as he deals with us, leads us, and guides us, he wants us to have enough love to move and do what he asks. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's not. But the Lord is going to be able to help us. Now then, if you want to keep, if you want to keep what I preach this morning, you're going to have to love God. That's going to help us to be able to do what God would have us to do, keep that love. So he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. So if we love him, he's also going to love me. I believe it was the first one that told me this, I remember, with Brother Leslie. He said, love begats love. Love begats love. So if we love somebody and we show that to them, that's going to get their attention and it's going to bring it back to us the same way. They'll love us. They'll respond to us. Now, Brother Marty and I, Brother Clevenger and I are pretty close. And I get amazed at things we talk about and our mindset runs so much identical, I have been shocked down through the years. And my love to him and his love back to me. When he had that spell with COVID, and when I say the spell, when he really went down, his daughter, which is my third Galligood, she calls herself Sabrina, she called me and she said, Dad's in trouble. I said, Dad's in trouble, yeah. I said, Sabrina, I just talked to him today. He's doing fine. What do you mean? She said, well, I talked to him today too. Said, I talked to him about maybe 3 o'clock. She had talked to him about 5 o'clock, and then she gives me this call at whatever time it was and said, he's in trouble, Brother Carl. He needs your prayers. And I went to prayer, and I broke down, and I started basically sobbing. I said, God, we need you badly. And he gave me that scripture over there where he's on the boat and he's asleep and the disciples, the sea's getting rough and everything's bad. And the disciples come and wake him up. And this is what he said, peace, be still. And there was a great calm. The Lord gave me that and that helped calm me some. But I still was begging and pleading with everything I had. Lord, I need you to heal my brother. And he did. He brought him up and he brought him out. The Lord is going to allow us to get sick sometimes. He's going to allow us to go through maybe some hard sicknesses, some things that will get everybody's attention. When I thought I was coming down with COVID, and I guess I had a light case of it. I never was tested, so I don't know for an absolute, but what I heard, the symptoms were I had some of them. So Brother Ed had it. Sister Berta had it. Kendra had it. Brother Steve Gillenbeck had it. And Molly and I had it all at the same time. And we were sick. Molly was worse than I was. Brother Steve was quite bad. And Brother Ed had a pretty rough case of it. And so did Sister Berta. And we were sick and so forth, and I thought I was going to have the type that went into the lungs and caused you where you couldn't breathe. And that kind of scared me, because in 87 when I was sick and everything, I got one night where I couldn't breathe hardly at all. I was down on my knees, it's like a chain was wrapped around my chest and somebody pulling the ends of it and just shutting my breath down. I could not breathe. It's the hardest thing I think I've ever gone through. And I got to thinking about that one day. Well, one night I was sitting there in the bedroom, I was sitting on the side of the bed and I just busted out bawling. I said, what's wrong? I said, honey, I said, the most horrible thing I've ever gone through was that, and it looks like I'm going to go through it again. And it was hurting. But I still love God. And he spoke to me and he said, do you want a testimony? Listen, folks, the bottom line is he puts us through things to not only prove our love, so to speak, but the bottom line is it's for a testimony for other people. People need to see what he can do. He's not just anybody, he's God. And he's got all power and they need to see that. They need to see the power that he has, that he can heal anything that is out there that needs to be healed. He created the body. He knows more about it than any doctor, physician, surgeon, or anybody. And so consequently, and he's got the power. If a doctor does something to somebody, that's not healing them. He's the only one that can heal you. So here we are. And he goes, you want a testimony, don't you? You know what I did? I just said, yes, Lord. I didn't buck up against it. My fears kind of went down, so to speak, and I said, yes, I want a testimony. You want a testimony. You want something that will help people. Well, I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be a preacher. You can be a missionary in your own right, in your own world, living to do the things that God would have you to do. And He can use you to bless people with your testimony. Not only about getting saved, but it's being stayed saved. Lord, giving you grace. People said, well, I can't do what you do. Yeah, you can, because I've done it. You can do it. You just watch me, so to speak. I'm not talking about me individually. I'm talking about you. Just watch me. You can tell them and see what I do. And as you live that life, and as you have that testimony, as you show that love to mankind, show the love to God, and that love shown then of what you're doing for God, that's going to help man to know that you love God. So he said here, he said, I will love him and manifest myself to him. Manifest. And then he goes on down in the 23rd verse, and he said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, keep my commandments. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He will live within us. He will bless us with peace and joy. He will do what nobody else could do, praise God. Listen, couples court. They get engaged and they get married. And real life begins, so to speak, when you get married. That opens up the door for so many sweet things that can happen between a husband and wife. So consequently, it's the same way with the Lord. He said, I'm going to come in. I'm going to come unto him and make our abode with him. Live and do right inside us is what he's going to do. All right, let's move to another angle. Let's go to Deuteronomy 13th chapter and 3rd verse. Deuteronomy 13 and 3. Thou shalt not hearken to the words of that prophet or the dreamer of dream, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now would the Lord prove you and I? Said, proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart. Whoo! What does that mean, Brother Carl? Well, I'm going to give you biblical answers to go with it. But you tell me what's in the Bible that could prove that. What people is in the Bible that God has proved their love? Proved their love back to him. And one of them actually got himself in trouble with the Lord. But then he come back, and the Lord pinned him to the ground. And we'll get to that in a little bit. Let's go to Genesis 22. Remember Genesis 22? I believe it's Abraham, isn't it? Came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham, he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Woo! Talk about proving. What'd God do with his son? He gave his only begotten son. And he done it willingly. Because he knew that was the only way for that son to offer that blood. And that water, so to speak, everything, that life, that's the only way to break the power of sin whereby man could live a righteous life. And he done it willingly. He knew it was going to hurt. Listen, we don't like to see our children hurt. If they get sick or something, real sick, it touches mom and dad. It gets your attention real quick. It did me anyway. And girls wasn't that sick off and on, but they did have some sicknesses and some pains and so forth. And one time it was so bad that, they're both sick at one time. And so we thought the best thing to do is she sleep with one and I sleep with the other instead of waking us all up, so to speak, because they were doing things at different times. So we just slept. I slept with one. Rebecca Ann slept with the other. When they woke up, when they was in pain or whatever, we'd wake up, we'd lay our hands on their head, we'd pray for them. They'd go back to sleep and we'd go back to sleep. But the Lord give it all. Jesus gave it all, and the Father gave it all. And so here he is. He's telling Abraham, this is what I want you to do. I want you to offer your son there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, third verse, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac, his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up, went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. Abraham said to his young man, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son, took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father. He said, my father. He said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the wood of the fire in the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a land for a burnt offering. So they both went of them together. They came to the place which God had told him of. Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. He said, lay not thy hand upon thy lad, neither do anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Abraham went and took the ram, offered it up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven a second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, had not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. Multiplying, I'll multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed. This one man obeyed, because thou hast obeyed. This is what I'm going to do. Now, Abraham had no idea, and I don't know really totally maybe what depth of vision he had of looking out there, but the bottom line is what God's saying, that's why we're here today. We're part of that lineage, and God has used that. And what would have happened if Abraham hadn't have done it? Lord, help us. Well, the Lord's wanting you to go do something, and he's proving you and testing you, and you get down there, Lord, I can't do it. And Lord's got all kind of blessings, and he's got all kind of things he's going to do, and we're holding him back, so to speak. Lord, help us. Help us say, Lord, thy will be done. I will do it. I want to do it. All right, now then, this son was not 5 years old. He wasn't 10 years old. He wasn't 15 years old. He wasn't 20 years old. If I remember right, he was in his early 30s. Now you think about that. This was a grown son, and he and his father, I would dare say, had a very good relationship between the two. So you can imagine what it would be like when God's telling him, give your son to me. That would not be easy, folks. That would not be easy. There's been a number of men in their 40s and down, well, in their 50s. Let's go all the way to the top. You got three right down there in Laranger. And then I'm up there in this area, you've got a number of young people. Well, I say young people, I'm talking about people about 30, no, let's go about 40-something, on back down, that they have been taken out by God. Now, where they all stood spiritually, I don't know. But like Molly was saying, that young man, he just dropped dead, basically, apparently of a heart attack. Then they had another cousin that he got to having problems. They took him in, and he had liver problems. And one doctor, I talked to the father about this just not too long back, well, at the end of the meeting there in Holly Hill on last Sunday. And he said, Carl, the first one told me he had about a year. The second one told me he had about 6 months. The third doctor said he had about 3 months. He was dead about a week. Left them just crying, so to speak, bawling and wailing. And then Molly's nephew, Joey, he was 42 and died on Father's Day. Just dropped dead of a heart attack. These are young people. But the bottom line is their parents and their loved ones had a good relationship with them. And it's just tearing everybody up. But Abraham did not let that hinder him. The father called and he answered. But look at where you're at today because of him. Aren't you glad that he answered? What if he would have said, no! Ain't no way I'm going to do that. That's my son. I'm not going to offer him. I'm not going to sacrifice him. Ain't no way. But no. And he didn't wait 6 months to do it neither. I've always loved that, Brother Dan. The fact is that Abraham got right busy right away and took off and done what God asked him to do. Lord, help us to be of a ready mind and a ready spirit when God says do it, because you don't know what's around the corner and down the street, so to speak, and there may be something that needs to be right now. How much do we love God? Lord, help us to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. All right, let's go to John. The last chapter, I believe it is, of John, 21st. Well, that's it, isn't it? Yeah, that's it. 21 of John, and about the 15th verse. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord. Thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, thou lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Now then, he's saying here in the 15th verse, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? What's the these here? Could it be a companion? Could it be children? A family? Oh, one of the big ones, money, vehicles. My Brother John Salmon said he lived over there, when he lived over there in beautiful Green Bank, he said he had a neighbor, and he said that neighbor washed his car every day. Loved that car. A job. Could we love a job more than the Lord? What about a business? What about farm? What about home? What about a wrong relationship? What about playing sports? And this is just the tip of the iceberg. There's so many things that you could put in here. You lovest thou me more than these? Just how much now, Simon? And Simon kept going, well, Lord, you know thou lovest me. Well, how does the Lord know he loves him when he denied him? I don't know what Peter was thinking exactly right in there, but the bottom line was Peter denied the Lord. And it got him in trouble, and Jesus told him what he was going to do, and he done it. But it said, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Jesus wasn't going to give up on him. Jesus was not going to give up on Peter. I'm praying for thee that thy faith fail not. Well, I guess his faith didn't fail. He did do what he done. And now then Jesus is pinning him down. All right, if we get into a tight spot somewhere and we're tempted to do something other than we shouldn't do, could he said, you lovest thou me more than these? Do you love me more than that? When I worked in the service station business, I started in 1968. We were on the interstate. We're interstate stations. And we had some men there that were some older than me. I was about 16, I think, at the time, 17. And these men had cars. Now, one of them had a 428 Cobra Jet Mach 1. Gorgeous blue, black interior. Engine would just blow your mind, so to speak. And that man kept that clean, that car so clean that you could eat off the air filter. I mean, he could put it in the bay when we wasn't doing anything. Well, we could wash our cars or whatever. We had to take care of the customer, but we had liberty to do some things. And he done it. And then another one, he had a 357, what was it? Anyway, it was white and one was blue. One of them was a Chrysler product and one was a Ford. But anyway, he had one too. And again, they babied these cars. They pampered them. And the one with the blue Mach 1, you know what he done years later? He offered to sell it to me, and I didn't buy it. And I have since regretted that because I don't know what that car would be worth today. It would be worth a pile of money. And I didn't buy it. Didn't have the money, I thought. And so I didn't buy it. But it was so well taken care of. But the bottom line is, Simon, do you love me more than these? Now, you got this and this and this and this, but do you love me more than all of that? What if he asked you to give something up? There has been parents that's had a child very sick and right at near eternity, but they consecrated that child to God. Karen, Salih, when she went to Africa with her dad, got malaria and come back. Different ministers were in and out praying for her and working with her. And the night that she died, she nearly died but didn't, a minister that was there told me, said, Carl, she went right down to the point of death. And said just before she quit breathing, the Lord touched her and turned it around. Now then, I could be wrong, but I don't think so. I think there's a husband that's married to her is probably mighty thankful what God did. There's some children. I figure they're mighty thankful they got parents. But Karen could have. But the bottom line was, Bob and Irma had her set in a place that she's yours, Lord, and you do with her what you will. That's consecration. That's not easy sometimes. Simon, you love me more than these? Oh, Lord, help us. I'm not trying to be hard on her. I'm just trying to bring out reality, folks, that God should be our number one and only one. And we should love him to an extent that no matter what he called for or asked for, we're willing to do. Is that all right, Brother Dan? That's the way it should be. So, Lord, help us tonight to do that. All right, let's finish up. Revelation 2. Revelation 2. Let's just 2 and 1 of Revelation. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles that are not, and hast found them liars. Hast borne, hast patience, for my name's sake, thou hast labored, and it's not fainted. Now, this sounded pretty good. I mean, he just naming. I know thy works. He knows our works too. We're not, he's not in some closet when it comes to you and I. He's watching us every second. I know thy works and the labor you've done, the patience you've borne, and you're not bearing with them that are evil. In other words, you're laying the law down, so to speak, the scripture down. You're dealing with them like it should be dealt. Has tried him with, say, their apostles and not have found them liars. And you've borne. You've had patience for my name's sake. And has labored. You've done what I wanted you to do. And has not fainted. You've been right there. Then he said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Uh-oh. There we've been preaching, what, 40 minutes or so? And the bottom line now, he says, you all are this, 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 and this, but I got something against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. Did it say you lost it? Said you left it. Is there a difference? Yes. If you take and bring a $20 bill and lay it on the altar and walk out of here, you know what you've done with it. But if you're out doing things and a $20 bill slips out of your pocket, Aristotle Onassis, you remember him? One who was married to Jacqueline Kennedy. They said that he wrote off in a year about $14,000 in money that he lost. It fell out of his pockets and didn't have. But if he left that money, he knew what he'd done with it. And you and I know what we do with it if we leave something. So he said here, because I have somewhat against thee because I've left thy first love. All right, first love. Remember those early days of marriage? Maybe them courting days and engagement days. Why, my, you were so excited, so overwhelmed. And so forth, that first love, it goes with God too. When we first got saved, the pastor said, well, I could use some help down here on Saturday. I'll come. After 15 years, you just kind of keep your hand down, don't say anything. Now, Lord, help us here. I'm not being mean now, I'm just laying the word out for us here. And so consequently, it's very important, that first love. In other words, that first love is going to do things that love that has backed off some or cooled off some won't do. Sometimes the pastor, he has to look around. Well, let's see, I've got this one, but they're busy over here. And I got this one, they're busy over there. And I got this one, they're busy over there. Well, I guess, wife, you and I got to go do it. Nobody to help us. But that first love said, hey, pastor, I'll be there at 8 o'clock Friday morning or Saturday morning. I'll be right there to help you. And it can be whatever. But the bottom line is, to me here, there's an importance between the first love and just any love. That first love is, I'm going to do what we need to do. I'll be praying. And I don't know about here. But I could go back down three pastoral ships and I could tell you about how many people in the congregations that I could depend on to pray. And it wasn't 15 or 20 of them either. I talked it over with Molly. Molly was one in Holly Hill that she'd lead out in prayer and so forth. And I appreciate that. But listen, folks, today, our first love will help us to do what God wants us to do in services. In meetings, in camp meetings, that first love, that bubbling over love is going to cause you to bounce up at times and go, thank God I'm saved. The Lord done this for me, and I was in a trial and a tribulation. I was in a hard spot, but I prayed and I prayed and I fasted and I read the scripture, and the Lord come on the scene, and hallelujah, I'm still saved. It's God. And he gave you a testimony. But it's that burning, fervent first love. We don't get rid of it 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, or 20 years down the road. I've been around over 50 years now. Lord, help us to have that good first loving spirit that the Lord can count on. And God can count on. He said, this is my child, Dad, or Father. I tell you what, Father, he'll go do it for us. He'll go do it. And away he goes. Or she. She's our child, and she's fervent. She'll go do it too. Oh, today, let us have that first love. Let us not leave our first love. Let us not do anything but have a good, solid first love. So he tells them, he said, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent. Now this is getting serious. This is not something to play with, so to speak, because he's telling them now, you've left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and I'll remove thy candlestick out of his place except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat the tree of life, of the tree of life which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Oh, Lord, help us. How much do we love God tonight? How much do we love the Lord and His work? How bad do we want the liberty? How bad do we want to keep the liberty? People that want to have liberty, they're willing to do some things to have it. So tonight, Lord, help you and I to be willing to do, spiritually speaking, what we've got to do by loving God with all our heart to keep our liberty, to keep everything that we need that the Lord has got for us, to get all the inheritance, not pass up a thing. I put $1 million down there, I guarantee you that people want to have that $1 million. They want that. That's inheritance, see, and that belongs to me, preacher. I want that. All right, here it is. Go get it. Go take it. The Lord's got an inheritance, spiritually speaking, a lot richer than money. It's the most glorious thing we can have. Let's get it. Let's put in for it. Let's dig. Oh, Lord, I want that. I want to have love, Lord, for you that will help me to do anything that you want me to do. I appreciate your time and attention. Really appreciate being here today. I'm always ready to come to Web City. You all have been too good to me up here, so we appreciate everything. Pray for us. Lord bless you tonight. Thank you.